Say this with me. My destiny is in my words. Many people, you know, are looking for the key to reach their destiny. And, you know, they connect with, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this. You need to connect with certain people if you're going to reach certain levels. And you listen to certain messages and 10 seminars. That's all good because all of that can help you reach your destiny, both spiritually and naturally. But actually the key to reaching your destiny is found in the Word of God, and it overrides everything else. And you're going to say, oh man, Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. The New Living says it. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Have what you say. Have what you say. Now, I know you've heard all these sermons on this, but stay with me this morning and see if you can't get something new out of this. You know, have what you say can be referring to your future also. You know, we need to realize that where we get in life, spiritually and naturally, is connected to what we say. Our circumstances don't control us. Our experiences don't control us. What we speak concerning ourselves spiritually and naturally has a great effect on whether we reach our destiny or not. Our healing, our prosperity, our salvation, everything is in what we say. Even after we go through traumatic experiences, I've been there, through sorrowful experiences, I've been there. It's what we say that either keeps us where we are or propels us on to our future with God. You know, this is a principle that I learned early in life. I lived it with a man that I'm named after. His words enabled him to raise off of a bed of affliction. His words enabled him to take the message of faith around the world. His words helped us to overcome poverty and lack in the early days. His words raised him from an obscure East Texas preacher till he became known as the father of the modern day faith message, which a title he hated, but people gave it to him. He said, all I'm doing is saying what the Word of God says. The more we begin to understand this as a family, the greater things happen for us. One of the greatest principles that you can learn naturally and spiritually is that your words have a tremendous effect on what happens in your life. There's a little book called Signpost on the Road to Success by E.W. Kenyon. And he has a whole chapter on words in there, a little chapter on words. Words are containers. And they either propel you forward, or they hold you where you are, or take you backwards. You see, In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap consequences. Well, you're going to reach the consequence of, if you talk negatively, you're going to reach negative consequences. If you talk positive and about life and how great things are with God, you're going to reap those consequences also. If you ever played any kind of ball on a team, I played basketball, football, softball, fast pitch softball. I've had coaches say to us, you have got to believe and say that you can do it before it ever happens. Anybody ever heard that from a coach? Anybody ever heard that from the pulpit? Yep, we all have. Then Matthew 12:37 in the New Living says, the words you say either acquit you or condemn you. Now this scripture, just these two, and there's a whole bunch more we could get, but I'm not going to go there. They show us that our words make a definite difference in our lives. Some people are always saying, well, I don't know about this confession business. Well, I do. The Bible tells us to. Right? I'm not talking about saying something off of the wall. I'm talking about saying something in line with God's word. See, God wants to bless us. That's why you can say, I'm blessed. You can say, I'm blessed when you don't have a penny in your pocket. But if you keep talking about what you don't have, you won't get. But if you begin to talk about what you do have because of what the Word of God says, you'll get it. Anybody ever been there? Amen. See, we're talking about a consistent lifestyle. Saying it and believing it. Now, sometimes you get an instant manifestation, and other times you have to continue to say it. It has to be a lifestyle, not a one-time event. I grew up with my father. Most of you know who he was, Kenneth E. Hagin. He was always positive, talking about the word and about life and receiving what the word of God says belongs to us. He says, you've got to say what the word says. So, the word says I can do all things through Christ. Then you got to start believing that. And then you can go out and make it happen. You know, but when you start talking about this, many people, they say, oh, I've heard that before. Hey, maybe you've heard it before, but listen this morning and you'll get something different. Do you know how many messages I heard my father preach from this verse of scripture? More than any of you ever have. And then Craig has heard him a bunch of times, but I heard him more because I'm older. Doug Jones traveled with him, and he heard him talk about this. And Craig there, he traveled with him on the road for many years. I did. I went behind him. But both of them will tell you exactly what I'm saying. He always made a positive confession based on the word of God for natural things as well as spiritual things. And I see Doug shaking his head back there. You know, after Doug graduated from Rhema back in 75, he stayed with mom and dad at their house. And he had an opportunity to observe him out of the pulpit. And he will tell you, out of the pulpit, he was the same. He always made a confession based on God's word, depending on natural or spiritual. It was always, see, so many times we want to pull it into a spiritual area and thank God it's there. But God has told us that he wants to bless us in the natural. All you got to do, go back and look at Abraham. And it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. There in Galatians 3. Amen. Now, you see, our words are carriers. You know, there is, you can see on that camera right there where Andrew's there operating the boom camera. You look at all those wires there. You see all those wires? Every one of those wires are a carrier. They're carrying video. They're carrying audio. Because see, you see he got a headset and ears on. The director up there can talk to him and tell him what kind of shot he wants him to get. But without those wires carrying the signal, nothing happens. Our words are the carrier of the power of God, or negativism and doubt and unbelief. Our words are carriers. One guy said our words are buckets. And we either carry faith, hope, help, and healing, or we carry doubt, unbelief, negativism, and all that kind of stuff. Come on now. I can tell you, and I guarantee you most of you will remember, will can attest to this, that how powerful words are. Have you ever walked into a room and you wasn't in that room, but when you walk in that room, there's two people in that room, and when you walk in, you feel tension. Anybody? You know why? Words. Words were spoken. Words create your atmosphere. Words create. You know, speaking the right words will create the right atmosphere. Speaking the wrong words will create the wrong atmosphere. Actually, there's a little book back there by my dad called Right and Wrong Thinking, and that's exactly what this is talking about. You speak right, you believe right, you think right. Hello. Speaking the word of God releases power. You know, in Hebrews 4:12, let's look at this. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I'm going to say it again. When we speak the word, it releases power. Other translations of 4:12, just the first clause, the new revised says, indeed, the word of God is living and active. The new century said, God's word is alive and working. The Amplified Version says, for the word of God that speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and listen at God. God said, let there be light, and there was. God said. As you begin to look at this, in Hebrews 11:3 it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. When God spoke one sentence, light came in and darkness was dispelled. When you begin to speak the word of God out of your mouth, light comes in and darkness has to flee. When we speak the word of God out of our mouth, depression and despair have to go. When we speak the word of God out of our mouth, fear and torment have to go. When we speak the right words out of our mouth, lack and poverty have to go. And I'm talking the word of God, what the word says. Sickness and disease have to go. There is enough power in the word of God to create all that is visible. You know, Abraham spoke the word of God and he received the promise. Let's just read this. All of you know it, but Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of his wound. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Now, I want you to notice, it says that Abraham, not being weak in faith, considered not his own, but didn't waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith. You know, one of the ways Abraham was strengthened in his faith is every time he told somebody what his name was, he was making a faith confession. See, his name meant, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude or father of many. So every time he went around telling somebody his name, he was saying, I am the father of many. And he didn't have any. But he continued to say it. And I don't know, there's different chronological reports. I always zero in on about 17 years, but there's different reports that different ones give. But he maintained a constant confession concerning having children. Now, not only does he have natural descendants, but we that have, and according to read the whole third chapter of Galatians. I'm not going to go there. You can. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. That's what Galatians 3 says there. So, yeah, he is the father of many. Amen. Speaking God's will, or the word of God, I should say, will bring you into your destiny. Our words are seeds. When they're planted, they either grow doubt, hate, fear, unbelief, or they grow faith, love, joy, peace, happiness. And it depends on your words. You know, you can go out here, and if you look around the campus, it's really looking nice. The team is doing a fantastic job getting this campus really looking good. And I really, really am glad, you know. But, I've noticed that, and you probably didn't notice it, but how many noticed the lawn out there looked really green and nice? You know, about 6 weeks ago, they went through and seeded grass seed. It was fescue and rye seed. And now it is, while other grass is dying, that's growing up and giving us a pretty green lawn out there. But you know what? They didn't just put that down one day and it was up there the next. It's over a period of time. A farmer plants a seed. I used to watch my grandfather. He'd plant cotton seed. And it would be quite a while before you ever saw nothing. Hello, any of y'all from farm country? No, I don't know much about it. Some of you know more about it than I do. But you know what? I'd go out to the field with him and he said, son, look at that cotton. It's gonna look good. I can see it already. Why could he see cotton? Because he planted a seed and he knows that that seed is going to grow. I used to bring the staff in here when we were building this church. And this extension had been put on here. But I was standing, and I hope I'm still in the light. But the pulpit would be right here. And I would stand on the ground with my staff. And I would say, there's the pews all out there. The people would be sitting out there. And the balcony's up there. They'll be up there. There wasn't nothing here, but they were just doing the groundwork. Why could I see it? And they'd sort of say, yeah, okay, you know. And Tony Cook said, we didn't see nothing. Because the seed was planted in me. And I could see it before it ever become a reality. That's the same thing that happens to you when you begin to speak the word of God concerning your situation. Whether anybody else can see it or not, you can see it with the eye of faith and you keep confessing what the word says. You keep saying the same thing over and over again. I like to say it like this. God's, when you speak God's word, it performs a highway that you walk down to experience all the blessings that you are confessing with your mouth. Your words are carriers, like I said. They will carry you to your ultimate goal, or they'll take you away from it. Many times, many people let circumstances, situations that happen cause them to pull back from God's word concerning everything. I had somebody not very long ago at one of my healing meetings said, well, you keep praying for the sick, and I know that people have gotten in your healing line because I know I've been to your meetings and they didn't get healed. Yeah. Why are you continuing? I said, because God's word says so. And I looked at them because I know that they weren't full time, what I call full time ministry, but they'd done a little bit of ministry. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you speak about salvation and witness to people? Well, yeah. Has everybody that you've spoken to got saved? Well, no. I said, have you quit still talking to people about that Jesus saves? Well, no. I said, well, then I'm not going to quit talking about Jesus heals. Come on now. Just because somebody didn't get something they was praying for, you don't need to quit. You keep on praying. Keep on confessing the word of God. The devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from getting it. And if he can keep you from backing off from it, he can keep you from ever getting it. You know, and I was in high school at Canterville Bible Academy in Oregon, and a junior in high school. And so the PE teacher, he had us boxing a little bit, you know. Well, my cousin had boxed in the Golden Gloves. I did his funeral. He's with the Lord now. And so I knew a little bit about boxing. And so I'm there. All of a sudden, I don't, oh boy, I can see his face, but I can't remember his name. He hit me, and I sort of about halfway went down, and I come back up. And man, I went to town. They said, the rest of the guys said, he was hitting you, and you just kept coming and kept swinging, and he act like it seemed like nothing that he did even fazed you. I said, I didn't. I didn't even feel it. I was going for the kill, and I knocked him out, really. Because, why? Because just because I got almost knocked down, I didn't back off. I went forward. When the enemy hits you and you don't receive, you just say, all right, Mr. Devil, you might have won, you might have got a punch in, but I'm going to get the killer punch in. You just keep confessing what the Word of God says. Glory to God. If you say you can't, you can't. If you say you can, you will. Everybody stand up. I've gone long enough. I want you to make this confession with me. How many of you believe what I was preaching this morning? Let's make this confession. My destiny is in my words. What I say will get me where I'm going. I will maintain a constant confession of faith. I will maintain consistently saying what God's word says. And I will see the promises of God come to pass in my life when I keep saying what God said. I can and I will receive my freedom and my deliverance and my healing and my prosperity and the abundant life that God has promised me. I will receive all the blessing that God said was mine in from His word. Hallelujah. Now, did you just say that because I told you to? Or did you say it because you believe it in your heart and you let it come out of your mouth? See, you can say something because somebody tells you to. But if you say something because you really believe it and it comes out your mouth, then you keep confessing it. Let me tell you something. You're going to walk out that door and the devil going to slap you up beside the head. That's when you have to sort of reel. You may reel. You may wobble. But you come back up, and the word of God coming out of your mouth takes care of your situation. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this morning I've just simply tried to remind these people of the things from the word of God that we've learned over the years. May we not let the devil take them from us. Thank you, Father. May we go forward and receive every blessing and every promise that belongs to us in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I never like to have a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or rededicate their life to God. If you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve Him, but you have not lived like you should and you're not exactly where you should be with God and you need to rededicate your life. Anybody in this congregation on any one of those invitations, I want to see your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you because I want to see you change before you leave this building. Anybody upstairs, downstairs, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life. Ushers, help me. I can't see with these lights. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, raise your hands and thank God. Evidently, everybody in here is a born again. But Father, if there happened to be one that is not and one that needs to rededicate, I pray that the convicting power of God will go with them and they won't be satisfied doing anything until they receive you as their Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. As I was praying that, The Lord said there's some of you that are watching that need to rededicate your life to God. We're going to pray a little prayer. You pray it with us as this congregation says it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you that even if I messed up, that you will forgive me and will take me back. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that now. I ask for forgiveness for not living like I should. And I thank you now that I'm restored in Jesus' name. Amen. There were at least five of you, maybe more, but I know that's what the Lord said that needed to pray that prayer with us. If you prayed that prayer with us, on your screen there, it says partner service at rhema.org. If you'll just go to your computer and write into there, we want to hear from you. We want to know you prayed with us. And if you'll write in and tell us, we'll send you some books that talks to you about some things. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.